Right, good morning. Hey, lovely to be here with you all. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lance. I've spoken here a couple of times now, so hopefully I've gotten to know a few of you. And I help run our youth work called Mosaic, that is this collaboration between the Anglican movement here and you guys and some other churches that we're trying to bring on as well. Hey, just as a quick aside, some of you, did you guys know that Andrew and I spent like an awful lot of time together recently? I was trying to calculate it. I think it was around about 216 consecutive hours, which is, you know, an awful lot of time to spend with one person. Yeah, awful, awful is the exactly right with it. Oh, I can click my own slide. Tim, we went to this big bike ride. Tim came for the first couple of days and then wisely thought better of continuing with Andrew or I. He'd had enough of Andrew, I think. Can I? Oh, there we go. So this is the East Cape. This is before we started. I'd like to point out Andrew is sweating through his T-shirt already and we haven't started riding. So that was, you know, yeah. I'm getting you a can of Lynx for your next birthday, Andrew. And then we did this big ride. This was, you know, day after day after day. And then we got to the end. But Andrew and I are quite different, as it turns out, in our morning routines and our sleeping routines. Andrew's quite a sonorous sleeper is the only word for it, and quite particular in his mornings. So this was I would be up and at this point, I'm ready to start writing for the day. I'm packed. This is Andrew asleep in his bed, you know, a mountain of gear ready. And then after this has happened, he will, you know, have a long, leisurely breakfast, bacon and eggs, you know, French toast, you know. But he will arrange all his muesli bars for the day and all his little energy gels and has this very particular way of getting prepped for the day. And meanwhile, I'm, you know, saying, hey, Andrew, we've got to keep moving. It just made me think, you know, if Andrew, he's a very careful personality. And where is this all going? Why am I telling you this? If Andrew is as thoughtful and as careful with his love for you all, you're in great hands here at West Baptist, because he is a very careful and particular personality. And we had great intentions of being riding by 7 o'clock every morning, but with the 2-hour morning routine that Andrew has that never, ever eventuated. So, hey, I've spoken here before about why we are kind of exploring this kind of cross-denominational partnership with youth. And this morning I just want to talk a little bit about kind of like why youth work at all. And we've done lots of talking this morning, which is great, because I've got one more little exercise for you. I want you to imagine what might good news be to a young person today. We talk about good news all the time. It's kind of like one of our core things in the church. What do you think good news to a high schooler is today? So here's the task. Get your imagination going. Tomorrow, you've got some spare time in your lunch break. You wander through the gates at Spotswood High. Okay, some of you, your heart might be beating a bit faster already at that very thought. You're now surrounded by these wonderful, beautiful, pimply-faced young people, the future of our nation. And you bowl up to a group and you say, hey, I'm from that church over the road, West Baptist. We're going to, what do you say? Okay, turn around, talk to someone you didn't come to here with. Extroverts, go to your happy place. Introverts, take a deep breath, try and get a word in. You're from West Baptist and you've got some good news. West Baptist is going to something. Talk to the person next to you. You've got 30 seconds. Quick as you can. Go, go, go. Okay, that'll do. Real quick, what did you say? Yell it out. Free food. A picnic. Yep, on the food vibe.
Quails for my
Minecraft. Oh, you should hang out with mine kids. We're going to do some gardening for old people. Do you want to join in? Any others? Ice cream for everyone. There's a strong food vibe in this place. Are you all hungry? So anybody mention anything about salvation? Nah. That's interesting, isn't it? The reality for most churches when it comes to young people is we're not good news. With a bit of luck, we're not bad news either. So that's good. But the reality is we're just no news. Yeah, on the whole, young people don't care about your church. Don't worry, they don't care about my church either, so we can cry on each other's shoulder later. The truth is 95% of young people are not part of any church. That's the reality. When it comes to young people and the church, we're not good news, we're not bad news, we're just no news. And it shouldn't be that way, because we believe we have this fundamentally good thing, news about the way things really are, a loving God who loves young people, sees them as precious and valuable and beloved, and that's actually life-changing information. So how might we shift this? How do we go from no news to being genuinely good news? Because I believe this is possible. And I think we, God's people, have something really significant to offer. But there's a bit of a challenge. Let me read a little bit of scripture that kind of shows, oh, we just want to keep looking at Andrew sleeping, don't we? But we do have to move on to holy scripture. John 1. Yes, good. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay, one more. Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. John and Paul were having a good day writing those days. Amazing words, and what they do is they highlight this grand narrative of Scripture, this beautiful story of love, of God and his creation. And it's a story, if you kind of know your Old Testament, starts with this language that's kind of like, I am your God and you will be my people and that's the deal. And we see that kind of arc through the Old Testament and then kind of develop in the New Testament. There's a bit of a shift. It becomes this much more familial, much more kind of family-oriented language of being sons and daughters, of being adopted in. And now there's no distance between us and God. We're part of God's family. We're God's children. Now, we belong to God and we belong to each other. We aren't orphans, but we are together, children of a good father. And the story is, the good news is you and me, we aren't strays, we aren't orphans, we belong to God. I was able to participate in a youth work workshop a few months ago, run by a group that train youth workers for schools and social agencies. And the core of the training looked around a kind of a wide body of research that had been done with the American Indian kind of First Nation indigenous cultures and the widespread mental health issues in those communities. These two guys, Larry Brentro and Leslie Dutois, I think you say, developed this, and this is the very, very abridged version. They found that in these young people who were presenting with all these kinds of pain-based behaviors, ways they were reacting when they came under emotional distress. This behavior was just fundamentally a way of communicating their deeper needs and longings. And as they pressed deeper into the research and tried to create tools that could aid in creating positive development in young people, they came up with this model that proved useful across many cultures and has now been adapted for New Zealand, South Africa, lots of other countries. And the core of this model, they found that the very first step in young people being able to make positive development in their lives was addressing needs around belonging and identity. And you can imagine the very obvious needs, if you know anything about the First Nations people in North America, some horrendous stories of dislocating people, separating young people from their families, from their tribal lands and communities, dramatically breaking the sense of to whom they belong. And a lot of this happening not that long ago. And these are stories that sadly have almost become the norm across many Indigenous cultures, and we know we have stories like that in Aotearoa New Zealand as well. And so these researchers developed this model called the Circle of Courage. We've adapted it to call the Circle of Mana in New Zealand, which is great. And it shows these four stages of development: belonging and identity, achievement and competence, influence and responsibility, and generosity as stages of development. And the core of this idea, the foundation on which it all rests, is this idea of belonging and identity. We all need a sense of people and place where we belong, a sense of our identity, who we are to build on. That's the foundation for all the next phases of positive growth. So when I talk about how we can be genuinely good news to young people, this is a lens I find really helpful. Can we create a sense of belonging and identity that is going to give young people somewhere to stand, a place from which they can build a flourishing life on? There's so much we can't do, right? So much that is beyond our reach and capacity. But in small, but we hope genuinely significant ways, our hope for what we want to do at Mosaic is that Mosaic is a place that young people can have a sense of belonging and identity, that they would feel this is a place where they are truly welcome and where they belong. Now, obviously, ideally, young people get primarily an overwhelming sense of their belonging and identity from their family, right? From their parents. And that's wonderful when it works. But this is the increasing reality of what we're working with, is that young people with whom their relationship with their family is pretty strained. It's not a positive environment. And hey, I've got my own kids. I know that relationship goes up and down. But what Mosaic can be, has potential to be, isn't to try and replace that relationship, but it can be kind of like a third place. You guys heard that kind of phrase before? For most adults, our relationships, our place where we get that sense of belonging and identity, primarily our family relationships, often but not always, usually our kind of workplace relationships, often for that, particularly that identity, who we are, is tied with what we do, for better or worse. And often places like a church can be a third place of identity for adults. You might like to think about what your kind of three places where you feel a sense of belonging and identity are. For young people, that third place is really important, because during their teenage years, there's so much inner development happening, so much physical change happening, so many emotionally charged parts of life that they're trying to navigate, all while their brain is changing and developing at this alarming rate. So if you have a bit of a fallout with mum or dad, or there's other stressful things happening at home, or if school's not a great place for you relationally, that might mean you go through this really significant season of life where there's lots happening that's having a massive impact on your future, potentially without anywhere where there's a consistent, positive sense of community to which you belong, or a supportive, listening adult. And we know when young people feel like they don't belong anywhere, the chances of them being able to grow on to achievement and competence, influence and responsibility, and ultimately generosity, starting this again with someone else, are massively reduced. So places like Mosaic offer a simple space that can just be kind of like a holding place be a positive community that can work alongside the role of family to be a bit of scaffolding of belonging and identity and help people get through their teenage years with a positive sense of who they are. And I can't stress enough how small a strand really that we are in this, but we think it can be helpful. We think it can be useful. Let me give you two examples, one from my own life and one from one of our wonderful youth girls. I think I shared last time I was here how I was a part of a small church like this and a youth group associated with it. And when I was 18, my mum died. And in the process of that happening, I knew I had someone outside my family circle that was dealing with its own stuff, had its own stress, and really wasn't in a place to be, kind of a neutral, calm, non-anxious presence at that time. And I had a youth worker, her name was Diane, who I'd now known for 5 years consistently by that point. And I'd kind of never been super enthusiastic about youth or anything. I'd just kind of gone along because my parents encouraged me. But at the end of 5 years, an event happened that I could never have foreseen, and I was so glad I had that relationship in place at that point, that I had someone who could be a trusted adult, a listening ear, that was different to my immediate family, better in terms of more useful than my peer group in terms of being able to give me kind of wisdom and advice at that time and be able to just sit and pray with me. It was so valuable. A few weeks ago at Mosaic, one of our young girls was talking with Kim, who kind of runs it with me, at the end of a night, and she was just downloading some really difficult stuff. And at the end of the night, she said, totally unprompted, she said, "Mosaic is so important to me. I don't have anyone else I can talk to about this stuff in my life." Okay, so it's really important to remember that... Sorry, those are two things, but it's really important to remember that Mosaic isn't all like crisis-y kind of stuff. We just do lots of stupid fun. And lots of kids are doing great. Most of them are, I would say. They are genuinely incredible. And, the capacity for what they pack into a week is mind-boggling. And so for those ones, we give them opportunities, hopefully, to start building on the next ones. They've got belonging and identity kind of, down for now, and they can start doing other stuff. Okay, so we started talking about how when it comes to faith, 95% of young people aren't in the church. And Mosaic is a faith community at our core. And here's what we believe is that if we can create a community in which young people feel that this is a place they belong, where they are genuinely welcome, where they're wanted, where they're loved, from there conversations about the gospel are easy. Really, they are. I talk about Jesus with young people every week. I get to pray with young people about Jesus every week. I get to talk about faith every week. And we 100% welcome everybody, whether they have any interest in Jesus or not, because our method, if you like, is based on this theology that, God reached out to us. God reached out to me while I was a sinner with no interest in God. God welcomed me before I was interested in him. So we welcome universally. But also undeniably, unashamedly, we're evangelistic. We're trying to influence young people to know Christ. But we try and build long-term relationships because if we don't, we know we're just wasting our time. A youth researcher called Tom Garlett said the ability to influence a young person is directly related to the degree of connectedness. You get that? The ability to influence is directly related to the degree of connectedness and belonging which the young person experiences in relationship. So if we want to have a chance at meaningfully influencing young people just to think better of themselves or make better decisions or consider faith in Christ, we need to have significant connected relationships with that young person. So that's our kind of strategy, if you like. Young people who we hope to feel connected in our community, feel a sense of belonging, they'll be more open to the gospel when they hear it. And in our experience, that kind of takes about 3 or 4 years to get to that point with a young person, which is, quite an investment. to do that, we have a core team of amazing leaders. James is one of them. And we ask a lot of them. We say, you know, we expect you there every week unless there's something really significant happening in your life. We set a high bar because we know young people don't need another adult to drop in and then drop out of their lives. Supporting that, we need this element of paid leadership, which is my kind of role, and Kim as well, who can, you know, whenever they can, have an opportunity to take young kids out for coffee and just have the conversations. And it's vital that we're supported and resourced by communities like yours, and individual, you know, passionate individuals who just say, yep, love what you do, let me get behind you. People who do that and churches who do that free up our time to spend time with young people instead of fundraising, which is what we really want to be doing. So it's a shared mission on every level. So, why is it so important for churches like yours to get behind groups like ours? this is the sad, challenging reality. Scripture Union did this big body of research in the UK, and you might not like what you're going to hear. They said that when it comes to young people, traditional churches have real strength at teaching already convinced young people about Jesus. They have a strength at discipling already Christian young people. But they're really weak at connecting and creating a sense of belonging for the 95% of young people who aren't in church. What do you reckon? Agree? Disagree? Boo me out. So the most fundamental thing we need to do on two fronts to be like genuine good news is this belonging and identity thing. It also happens that that's kind of the gateway for the gospel as well. And that's the one thing that churches aren't very good at doing, sadly. But Scripture Union, again, found that they also saw these other examples of what they called dedicated youth communities, of which Mosaic would be kind of an example of one. Communities that have a much narrower target of what they're trying to do. And without, to be honest, some of the baggage that traditional churches carry. And hey, Anglicans are the worst offenders there. These youth communities that have their own identity, their own sense of belonging, and really important is this, the young people feel like they can make a meaningful contribution to actually shaping, not kind of just an auxiliary to. These are proving much more successful at creating a sense of belonging to a faith community and having more success at introducing people to Christ, and then often function as kind of a gateway, a pathway to involvement in church later in life. We know if we don't kind of introduce young people to faith before they're 21, really high chance they're never going to come to faith at all. So, 95% of young people aren't in church, and I don't really care whether people go to church or not. I care about young people coming to know Jesus, about his light filling their lives, and then going on to become people who are going to go anywhere and do anything for him. But I don't really care if they're in church on a Sunday. I do care about them breaking really negative cycles of negative self-talk. I do care about creating a space where they feel like they can belong and create a sense of mana in themselves. And we're just kind of getting started on this, to be honest. You know, our vision, our goal is that we would love every young person in Taranaki to have access, have reasonable access to a faith community where they feel like they genuinely belong. We have some kids coming in from Hawera to our group, you know, which is awesome. That shows something of the, you know, the investment they have in us. But not every kid from Harvard is going to come to New Plymouth on a Friday night, you know. Wouldn't it be great if we could have a similar thing going down in Harvard? And we see real potential in this kind of model we've created, which is this partnering around, I guess, the network of our diocese that has a network all around Taranaki and Waikato, and partnering with local churches like yourselves. We think this is a model that has potential to grow and multiply. Which is really exciting. I love that verse in John. Let me just bring it up at the end of that. All who did receive him, verse 12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's our kind of message at Mosaic. God is in the world. God is moving in the world. And each of you are God's children. You belong to God. You belong with God. You're loved by God, whether you know it or not. Whether you acknowledge it or not. He is the true light. And knowing God brings light into our lives. So I just want to kind of thank you guys for the support you do offer us. I know there's a few individuals here who support us as well, and that really, you know, goes so far as well. I just want to fly the flag a little bit. If you want to receive updates from us, we do kind of an e-newsletter we've just kicked off. If you want to get that, please come and see me. Andrew might have even highlighted it here once before. I don't know. But please keep our team in your prayers as regularly as you can, because you know, every time we gather, we are hoping young people are going to make significant movements towards Jesus. And so often it does happen. So let me just pray and then I'll be done. Cool. God, thank you for the way that your light is in our world. Thank you for the way that you are not far, but you are as close that we can call out to you as Abba Father. There's a love, there's an intimacy there that is so wonderful to know. And God, we know so many young people need to know that in their lives. So many young people would benefit from having a sense of knowing to whom they belong with how deeply they are loved. We pray for the young people in our region. We pray for the young people at the schools that we see walking by. God, by your Spirit, would you continue to be drawing them to you? We pray for our team of wonderful leaders at Mosaic. Would you give them words and abilities to speak positive words over these young people, especially the ones who are in difficult and dark places? We pray that your light would come into their lives in new and profound ways. God, would you be glorified, and would we be amazed and surprised at the young people you are raising up who are going to be our church of the future? And we just pray a blessing over this place, over this building, over this church, these people that so lovingly support this work. Amen. Cool. That's it.